My guest at this time is Peter Hoekstra. He is a former congressman from Michigan, and he also served as chairman of the House Intelligence Committee. He is now affiliated with the Investigative Project on Terrorism, and he's also the author of a recent piece in the Wall Street Journal offering his expert insights on what we can glean from the information we've learned not only in the hearing this week involving the FBI director and the director of the NSA, but also the revelation from current House Intelligence Chairman Devin Nunes about incidental surveillance of President-elect Trump and the unmasking of potentially Trump and other associates of his during the transition period. And Mr. Chairman, thanks very much for being with us.
Hey, it's great to be with you. Thank you.
Well, in this piece for the Wall Street Journal, you talk about two very frightening things here. The first of all, the incidental surveillance, as well as the unmasking. You talk about here how with the incidental surveillance, it's known as raw intelligence. And even when you were chairman of the House committee, you weren't usually given permission to see that. Yet apparently a lot of people in the previous administration did.
Well, we've got to confirm that. I mean, my sources and what I gleaned from what Chairman Nunes said on Wednesday, it appears that there was raw intelligence, the actual transcripts of this incidental collection at the White House. And it's not that I was generally refused access to raw intelligence. I never saw it. I can't remember one instance. And I checked with my legal counsel this morning just to make sure on that and said, you know, is it true I never saw raw intelligence? He said, that's right. We never did. And so now it seems to have made its way to the White House. And Greg, you got to remember what this is. This information is incidental collection, means it's accidentally collected. Our foreign intelligence agencies, the CIA, NSA, they cannot target Americans. It's beyond their lawful jurisdiction. And so when they collect this information, number one, for it to see the light of day in any other agency, it has to reach a pretty high hurdle that says, you know, we're going to share this information with other agencies, but we're going to mask it, the American presence. So number one, it has to reach that hurdle, that it has clear, compelling national security interest. The second thing then is to get those names unmasked is another high hurdle, because while it's not illegally collected intelligence, it's inappropriate collected intelligence because it's outside of their charter.
Well, let's talk about how it should be handled compared to what we think we know at this point about how it was handled. What's generally protocol, and how is it different this time?
Well, what's generally protocol is you're going through some transcripts or an employee, and I was at the NSA and I saw the people who do this stuff, and you ask the question, what happens when you collect an American? And they said, oh man, that, you know, the rules are very strict here. You know, we review it, and if there's no compelling national security interest, we deep six it and it goes away. And if there is compelling national security information in here, what we will do is we will, you know, go through the proper procedures. We will explain why this information should be shared, and we will go up the food chain to the people that can say, okay, yeah, you can distribute this information. And then if they come back and say, hey, who are these Americans that are being talked about? Then we go through the food chain one more time and make a determination as to whether that information should or should not be unmasked. If there's a legitimate intelligence or national security reason why that name should be unmasked. This is intended to be very, very, very tough because, you know, you remember the debates after 9/11. We wanted to open up the coordination between foreign intelligence and domestic law enforcement. But there are always people who were concerned that if we do that, are we going to jeopardize civil liberties? Or, you know, will the intelligence communities abuse this? But we opened it up, and, you know, I hope we don't find that this is a case where that system was abused, because if it was, Congress will take those liberties away from the intelligence community, and they will start building that wall between foreign intelligence and domestic law enforcement, because we will not risk our civil liberties.
and we'll be closer to where we were prior to 9/11 in that situation. So if you are chairman now, obviously Chairman Nunes is still digging into this. Where would you look next, based on what you know at this point, about how and why this happened?
Number one, what I would do is I would open the doors and, you know, get on TV and in the hearings and all of that, saying, if there are people in the intelligence community who believe that there were things that were done wrong, please come to the committee, bypass the whistleblower steps in the intelligence community, and bring materials immediately to this committee, and we will protect you. The intelligence community has some of the weakest whistleblower protections of anywhere in the federal government. But for, I believe, for Devin Nunes and for the committee to find out what happened, they're going to need the help of more whistleblowers. The second thing is, I would bring in, and he's going to do this next week, I would bring in Mike Rogers and I would bring James Comey back, and I'm glad they're coming back, and I would nail them for what I believe is incomplete testimony last week. What Devin found or was presented to him, for that information to have found its way to the White House, I believe that both James Comey and Mike Rogers of the NSA would both have known of that information being at the White House, and they should have shared that with the committee. If anything, they led the committee in different directions. Mike Rogers testified and said, we've got such protections in here that, for masking and for distribution of incidentally collected information, it would never leave the NSA inappropriately. Devin Nunes right now, I think believes that that may not be true. So, Mr. Rogers, either you had the procedures in place and you didn't follow them, or maybe your procedures are not as great or as good as what you thought they were. And Mr. Comey, you said that there was, and he was very careful. You got to watch what these guys say. He said, I have no evidence to support the president's tweet. The president's tweet was very narrow. Former President Barack Obama ordered me to be wiretapped. In the larger context, it is people working on behalf of the president under the authority of the former president may have directly or indirectly surveilled his transition team. Mr. Comey maybe should have been more open about that.
And you point out in the piece that you believe that that lack of transparency really could and perhaps should lead to the firing of Mr. Comey and Admiral Rogers from their current positions. Last question. Obviously, there's a huge political component to this investigation. Nunes, of course, is focusing on how the leaks happened. Adam Schiff, the ranking Democrat, is focused on what perhaps the transcripts contain. He's looking at collusion between Russia and the Trump transition team. So can this committee do the work that needs to be done here, or are politics going to overwhelm them?
Oh, no, the committee can do its work. The top politics will take place, but the committee is the place to do this work. And to do it appropriately, they're expecting to do a closed hearing next week, which means it's classified materials and all of those kinds of things. But with the clearly the tension and the turmoil between the chairman and the ranking member, it's going to be a difficult next 2 years. And that's too bad, because I've pointed out recently that, Mike Pompeo, Dan Coats, they've got to restore the trust between the American people and their intelligence community. And to make that happen, the intelligence committees have to be a part of that. We need an effective intelligence community to keep America safe. Having all this political infighting doesn't help.
Mr. Chairman, it's always an honor to have you with us, sir. Thanks for helping us understand this so much better.
Always good to be with you. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Former Michigan Congressman, former House Intelligence Committee Chairman Pete Hoekstra, now affiliated with the Investigative Project on Terrorism. I'm Greg Corumbus, reporting for Radio America.